Blessed Ascension Sunday, everyone. It's wonderful to be together. It's amazing to be together and to share these days. Such an Easter gift from the Father for all of us to be able to be together at Mass and in prayer and at the Cenacle. And in these days, as we live the novena of Pentecost together, preparing for the great vigil as a family. The Church is a pilgrimage, is a people of pilgrimage. And the liturgical season is always keeping us aware of where we are and who we are, where we're from, and where we're going. And so just like the Lord gives us seasons to indicate the path that He has for us in creation, so the Church gives us liturgical seasons to indicate for us the path of our prayer, the path that we are to receive from the Church every day. And just as the Church is a mystical body, and she is the one through whom we receive the breath of God, the life-giving breath of the Holy Spirit, so we also receive through her the inspirations of each day that come to us through the sacred scriptures. And so we're celebrating the ascension of the Lord. And if we look at the paschal mystery of the passion, the death, and resurrection of our Lord, the ascension and Pentecost, these three tremendous feasts form a triptych, a kind of icon that revealed to us the source and the center of the Christian life. And the source and the center of our experience of the Christian life as pilgrim people in the Church are the theological virtues. The virtues that we receive in baptism, and therefore as capacities that we receive to relate to God. We call them theological because they are God's actions in us. The theological virtues are not like the natural virtues in the sense that they don't begin with us. They don't initiate, they don't start in our nature. They start in God. And so God is always acting in us with the Holy Spirit that He gives us and transforming us and drawing us to Himself. And it's an act that we fully cooperate with. It's the mystery of grace that is fully God and it's fully man. And therefore it always begins with God, but it can only happen with our cooperation. And the end of every act of the theological virtues is God Himself. And if we look at the passion, the death, and the resurrection that we call the mystery of faith, it is the mystery par excellence of our faith that we believe Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And so that activity of faith, the theological virtue of faith, gives us a new adherence to God. And it is an adherence that Jesus Christ has conquered death, and that we've received His victory by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And faith gives us a new vision, gives us a new way of seeing things, even when the day might seem cloudy, even when it might be a hard day, or we don't feel good, or we have difficulties. Faith is a gift that doesn't begin in our difficulties, and doesn't abide in our cloudiness. It begins in God. And so it's a gift we can always perpetually receive deeper that awakens us and lifts our eyes to the Lord and helps us abide with Him. And faith, above all, is that adherence, union with God. Ascension, as we hear in the opening prayer and the reading from the Ephesians, is a feast of hope. Hope because our identity has been anchored in heaven with Jesus Christ. Hope because our path is made clear, and not by our own accomplishments, not first by our own strength or even by our cooperation with God, but because God is risen and ascended into heaven, and so we are one with Him before the face of the Father in His throne of grace. And the Holy Father has called all of us, and especially in His pilgrimage to America last year, to rediscover the gift of hope, Christian hope. In His encyclical, Spes Salvi, He gives many examples of hope. He says, first, hope is a desire. The very fact that we desire God, the fact that we can desire the one that we don't see, the fact that we have a desire that informs and surpasses every other desire, is already a sign of hope. How is that possible? Because God has made us for an end that is greater than ourselves. He's made us for himself. And so with St. Augustine we can pray, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. So restlessness in this world, difficulty of even being at home sometimes, can become an indication of hope. Hope that this world isn't enough. I want God. And the confirmation of that desire, that authenticity, that longing that can at times even be painful, a desire to want to even break through the tribulations of the day and rest with him. Oh Lord, I desire to rest in you, and my heart has told me, seek his face. That movement, that desire of longing is hope. Hope also means that we are awaiting. And not in the sense that something is going to happen, which is true, but in the sense that there is always one who loves us. So hope is always being able to live before the reality of being loved. I hope because the Lord's love for me defines me. And so in my difficulties, and especially in the spiritual life, and most of us, when we discover that singular difficulty that keeps coming up again, and it can especially become more apparent in community life, when it's the person that we might find difficulty with, when it might be the one prayer that we can't seem to remember, when it might be the one detail of love that we continue to struggle with, and we think, how simple it would be for me to just do that. And for whatever reason, Lord, I still struggle with it every day. So those difficulties, those impediments in the spiritual life, but especially the particular struggle that we have in the spiritual life, becomes the place where we're called to encounter the Lord. It becomes a place of discovering hope. So hope then becomes like a pool of grace. And so when we discover and we encounter that difficulty, it's a place where we desire to be immersed in the Lord Jesus. In our gospel today, when the Lord commissions those to teach baptism, it's the gift of being immersed in the Lord Jesus. So hope gives us a new place to look in our difficulties, because our face is always looking upon the one that loves us. If Jesus loves us, that means that we can face our sins. And it means that we can be really honest with God. It means we can come before him and say, Lord Jesus, I need serious help here. I mean, I should be more loving to this person. I should be more grateful in so many gifts I've received. I should be more responsible in how you call me to live. And really, I don't have a reason not to be grateful. I don't have a reason not to be responsible. So I experience my misery. And that word, misery, that was so precious to St. Margaret Mary and to St. Faustina Kowalska, becomes the occasion for the divine mercy. So our weaknesses and our sins in the spiritual life become a school of hope, a place where we learn to discover hope, so that with choices of hope and with obedience to the Holy Spirit and a perpetual return to the sacrament of reconciliation, to spiritual direction, to fidelity, of surrendering our weaknesses to the Lord, we live in hope. Hope also becomes a goal in the sense that we have an inheritance. And so it can purify all of our other goals in the sense that why do we really work? And why do we really do things? Well, hope becomes a clarifying gift to our hearts so that we can ask the Lord to always place our hope in him. As we mature and grow in our experiences in the church and in community life, and as we grow in self-knowledge, we can realize that our only hope is in him. And so it becomes a place of really growing in that virtue that opens the gates to all the other virtues, which is humility. The gift of hope opens us to the reality that we totally need God. Of course, the greatest of the virtues, and the virtue which inspires all the others, is love. And just as we have lived the gift of faith by celebrating Easter, the gift of hope as we celebrate the ascension of the Lord, we are moving on pilgrimage to the great feast of love, which is Pentecost. In these days, we are called to be bathed in hope, to be rekindled in our love for the Lord and our experience of His divine mercy, and above all, to allow His love to transform us. His love that has established Himself as head above all things and head above His body, which is the church.